So this morning, I'm going to do something that most of you are used to hearing. I'm probably going to start off with a joke, so I would like to apologize. But before we get into the message, please rise for the reading of the word, which comes today from Romans 6, verses 19 through 23. Reading in Jesus' name. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we have come here today to hear your word. Lord, to hear the word about your Son who died for us. Please, Father, make the words that come from my lips be your words. If necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way. For, Father, we came to see Jesus. Hide me behind the cross so that he is who is seen, that it is your word that is proclaimed here, your word that is written upon our hearts. Open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. And Lord, help us to understand more about what it means to be a servant for you. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So I warned you that I was going to start out with a joke. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise to any of you who know me, because I mean, how many of you have been subjected to one of my really bad dad jokes? Don't get me wrong, I love dad jokes. I think they're funny. I love the worse they are, the cheesier they are, the more I laugh, and the more I long to share them with poor other suckers like yourselves. But the one I'm going to share with you today is one of my favorites. Even if it is just a little bit cheesy, it's one of my favorite jokes. It's about this old man. You see, this old man, he came to Christ late in life. And he's extremely wealthy. I mean, just, you know, Bill Gates type wealthy. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. And he's on his deathbed, and that's when he comes to Christ. But he's having a hard time letting go of his wealth. And he gets on his knees, even though he's in his deathbed, he's on his knees praying and praying and praying that the Lord will just allow him to take a little bit of his wealth with him. Just a little. He doesn't want to take much, just a little bit. And the Lord hears his prayers, and he sends an angel to go talk to this guy to explain about things, right? And so this angel appears before the man, and he begins explaining to him. He says, "You don't understand. He doesn't let anybody bring anything ever." And the man just pleads and begs him and says, "Please just ask him. Just ask him personally for me if he would just let me bring just one, you know, just a little bit. I don't want to bring a lot. Just one suitcase full. That's all I really want to bring is one suitcase full." And the angel goes, "Well, he doesn't allow anybody to bring anything, but I'll go ask him." So he flies off and he comes back and he says, "I don't believe it. The Lord said that you can bring one suitcase. You're allowed to fill one suitcase with your wealth and bring it with you to heaven." And the man is so excited, he wastes no time. He takes a suitcase and he gets a bunch of gold bars, the purest gold bars he can find, and he fills his suitcase with them, and he's ready. And finally, the day comes, he passes away, and he's lugging this heavy suitcase up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter stops him and says, "Look, you can't bring that in here. Nobody's allowed to bring in anything." And he says, no, please go ask the Lord. I have a special pass. The Lord said I could bring this suitcase." And St. Peter's like, "But he doesn't allow anybody to bring in anything." And he says, "All right, I'll go check." He checks with the Lord, and he comes back, and he says, "I don't believe it." You know, because he's never let anybody bring in anything. But, He says, I'm allowed to, I have to check your suitcase to make sure that you're bringing just what you promised, but yeah, you can bring it in. And the guy says, okay, and he hands the suitcase over. St. Peter opens it up, and he looks at it. He sees all the gold bars, and he goes, oh, you brought pavement. I love that joke. Part of the reason that I really love that joke is it kind of points out how silly we can be, about how funny we are when we try to give our wealth to God, as if he has any need of anything that we have. I mean, you look at what you have and you somehow think that what you have is better than what God has already provided you with, which is funny because he provided you with it in the first place. But have you ever caught yourself doing that? I mean, I have. You know, I sit here and think that there's something that, you know, God desires from me, and therefore whatever I'm giving him must be something good because he must want it. And I've caught myself doing that very same thing, and it smacks me in the forehead occasionally, which is a good thing. But how many of us know someone like that, though? Or know people like that who, they have all the toys, they have all the good stuff, they have all these wonderful things that life has to offer, and you wonder how they got so lucky. How'd they get all those things? And just like the old man from our story, they appear to have it all. I mean, he's extremely wonderful, yet I wonder if they're not a slave to something. If I have been a slave to something. Paul starts out our passage today by saying that he is to speak to us in human terms, and that he does so because of our natural limitations. One of the translations I read when I was researching for this message put it this way, and I really like this. It says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And that's the problem, isn't it? We look at this world and the things that it seems to offer us, and we want them. Our flesh seeks out after them. We want the trappings of this world so much so that some of us are willing to sign our lives over to it. Some of us are willing to give up everything for something that the world offers. I think Paul describes it very well when he writes, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Or how about what he says in verse 20? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And I have no idea why this popped into my head, but it's a story that I feel like I need to tell. It was a guy I used to work with in Denver. Great guy, good guy, the kind of guy who would, if you needed help, he'd give you money, and he'd help you out. But he was very particular about his wealth, about what he had. And I remember so many times trying to share the gospel with him. But what he would do is he would say, well, what do I have to do? And I would tell him that you need to surrender yourself to the Lord. And he says, I don't surrender myself to anybody. Didn't matter that I pointed out to him he had to work for the city of Denver in order to pay his bills, so he was surrendering himself to somebody. But he refused to let that go. He believed in everything that Christianity teaches, but he refused to let go of that part of himself. He said, I refuse to surrender myself to anyone. I cannot submit to someone else's authority. And when I read this, it says, for you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Which, I admit, I was confused by that statement when I was reading this passage. And it seems like a weird statement, but as I was researching, what I began to understand is this statement indicates that in our bondage to sin, we're free to keep sinning. It will continue to allow us to sin and go down that road of lawlessness. But that will never, ever, no matter how many good deeds we do, make us righteous again. Or perhaps more succinctly, that sin and not righteousness is our master. That was my friend's problem. He didn't realize he was in bondage to his sin because he refused to give up what he wanted. And that's a lie. That is a terrible, terrible lie. It's a lie that the world tells us. It makes us think that all these things, all this stuff that we think that we have control over, all these pleasures that we get here on earth, the world wants us to believe that it frees us. But it doesn't. The more we present ourselves as slaves to the world, the more we present ourselves to death. The more we condemn ourselves and basically give ourselves over to hell. Verse 21 of our passage today points it out when it says, "But what fruit were you getting from all the things that of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." So we think to ourselves, how do we change this? How do we fix it? What do we do? You know, it reminds me of an example given in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." See, it's just like my friend. He didn't want to be a master. He didn't want anyone else to be his master. He had all these great things, so therefore he must be doing good. Therefore, he must be a good person because he does good deeds with what he thinks, what he thinks is his. But in reality, the answer is in the last line: "Come and follow me." But if we want to be perfect, the answer is right here. We give up everything and then follow Jesus. So in about 2 weeks, I think that's about how long it would take all of you to sell all your stuff. You know, get rid of everything that you have, all your possessions. We'll get rid of everything. We'll sell the church. We'll sell the parsonages. I'll sell my motorcycle. We'll sell it all, come back here, and follow Jesus. That's the perfect way to be things, right? Would that actually make us perfect? No. That would be ridiculous, actually. The point that Jesus was trying to make to this man was essentially, give everything you have to the Lord and use it for his service and follow me. If you follow me, that will be the desire of your heart, to just give those things to those who need them. If anybody's in actual need of a motorcycle, we'll talk later, but... See, the thing is, this man came to Jesus and he asked for one deed. What's the one thing he could do? And when Jesus told him that essentially he needed to trust that God would provide, the man walked away dejected because he couldn't surrender himself to that. The man felt that he had proved his righteousness by stating that he had followed all the commandments. But in reality, who was the man's master? It was actually his greed. It was his sin. Sin was his master. He wanted to keep his stuff. It tells us in Matthew, in the following passages of Matthew 19, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God? Why can't the man come into the kingdom of God? It's because he's presented his members as slaves to sin. That sin is an impurity that leads, well, and that will continue to lead him into lawlessness, lead him astray. It's the same sort of thing that can lead us astray. Being this type of slave to our sin will lead someone to death, to condemnation. Because we can only choose one master. Jesus tells us this in Luke 16, where he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Or as Paul puts it in Romans, you're either a slave to sin or you're a servant of God. As we finish out Matthew 19, Jesus says one more thing. He says, "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.'" What it amounts to is, again, this poor man, and I do say poor. He may have had a lot of money when he came to Jesus to talk to him, but he's poor because he doesn't understand the great gift that he's giving up. He's made himself a slave to the things that this world has given him, a slave to sin. And the world, it wants us to believe that we can have our cake and eat it too. But Jesus points out that we cannot be a slave to anyone but him. For if we do, we give up the greatest gift of all. And that is what Paul is telling us in this message. Because like I said, we've covered what it says about what it's like to live our lives in sin, to be mastered by sin. But let's look at what it says about being a slave to God. This is what Paul says. "So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." That word sanctification in Greek also means holiness. When we present ourselves and only ourselves, not our good works, not anything that we think that we've somehow obtained, any possessions we claim, when we present ourselves to the Lord and surrender to him as his slaves, we become servants of the living God, one who will clothe us in the righteousness of his Son, so that we may be made a holy offering to him, because it is through the gift of grace. And as it says in verses 22 and 23 of our passage, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that leads to sanctification and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What an awesome gift that is. The joke I shared today, I told you it was funny because it reminds us of how silly we are when we hold on to the sin of this world, particularly when we have been promised an immeasurable gift. This joke points out the contrast of what we think about our sin and what God really says is important. See, for the old man, the gold that he brings with him to heaven is essentially his idol. He thinks he's giving it as a gift to God, but realistically, it's an idol. And that idol is so ultimately worthless that it is something that is trampled under the feet of those who serve the Lord. Because that gold is merely just pavement. It has nothing to do with God's great gift. It shows us that our master is either sin, which leads to death, or our master is the living God who sent his Son to die for us, so that we may be clothed in his righteousness, freely given by God's only Son who ransomed us, who gave his life up to save us so that we might have the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the gift of your Son, that free gift of grace. Father, help us to remain enslaved in you and allow us to let go of that slavery of sin. Lord, and when it comes to calling on us, Lord, help us to run back to you, run back to your Son, run back to the cross where we know that those sins have already been paid for. Father, help us to remember the great gift of grace, which is allowing us to be servants of you. Help us to write these words upon our heart, to take them with us, Lord, and to share them with others so that they also may know, Lord, how to give up being a slave to sin and become a servant of you. Father, we love you and we thank you for what your Son did for us on the cross. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.